Welcome to day 27 of my Everyday Bible. Do you realize you've almost completed a full month of going through the Word of God? That is so exciting. Well, this is Rita Langland, your host, and today we are reading Genesis chapter 43 through Genesis 45, reading this week from the Amplified Bible. Let's begin at Genesis 43, verse 1. But the hunger and destitution and starvation were very severe and extremely distressing in the land of Canaan. And when the families of Jacob's sons had eaten up the grain which the men had brought from Egypt, their father said to them, "Go again, buy us a little food." But Judah said to him, "The man solemnly and sternly warned us, saying, 'You shall not see my face again unless your brother is with you. If you will send our brother with us, we will go down to Egypt and buy you food. But if you will not send him, we will not go down. For the man said to us, "You shall not see my face unless your brother is with you."' And Israel said, 'Why did you do me such a wrong and suffer this evil to come upon me by telling the man that you had another brother?' And they said, 'The man asked us straightforward questions about ourselves and our relatives. He said, "Is your father still alive? Have you another brother?" And we answered him accordingly. How could we know that he would say, 'Bring your brother down here?'" And Judah said to Israel, his father, "Send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and you, and also our little ones. I will be security for him. You shall require him of me personally. If I do not bring him back to you and put him before you, then let me bear the blame forever. For if we had not lingered like this, surely by now we would have returned the second time." And their father Israel said to them, "If it must be so, now do this. Take of the choicest products in the land in your sacks, carry down a present to the man, a little balsam, a little honey, aromatic spices and gum of rock rose or ladanum, pistachio nuts and almonds, and take double the grain money with you and the money that was put back in the mouth of your sacks. Carry it again with you. There is a possibility that its being in your sacks was an oversight. Take your brother and arise and return to the man. May God Almighty give you mercy and favor before the man, that he may release to you your other brother and Benjamin. If I am bereaved of my sons, I am bereaved." Then the men took the present, and they took double the grain money with them and Benjamin. And they arose and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the steward of his house, "Bring the men into the house and kill an animal and make ready, for the men will dine with me at noon." And the man did as Joseph ordered and brought the men to Joseph's house. The men were afraid because they were brought to Joseph's house, and they said, "We are brought in because of the money that was returned in our sacks the first time we came, so that he may find occasion to accuse and assail us, take us for slaves, and seize our donkeys." So they came near to the steward of Joseph's house and talked with him at the door of the house and said, "Oh, sir, we came down truly the first time to buy food. And when we came to the inn, we opened our sacks and there was each man's money, full weight, returned in the mouth of his sack. Now we have brought it back again. And we have brought down with us other money to buy food, and we do not know who put our money in our sacks." But the steward said, "Peace be to you. Fear not. Your God and the God of your father has given you treasure in your sacks. I received your money." And he brought Simeon out to them. And the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water. And they washed their feet. And he gave their donkeys provender. And they made ready the present that they had brought for Joseph before his coming at noon, for they heard that they were to dine there. And when Joseph came home, they brought into the house to him the present which they had with them, and bowed themselves to him to the ground. He asked them of their welfare and said, "Is your old father well of whom you spoke? Is he still alive?" And they answered, "Your servant, our father, is in good health, and he is still alive." And they bowed down their heads and made obeisance. And he looked up and saw his full brother Benjamin, his mother's only other son, and said, "Is this your youngest brother of whom you spoke to me?" And he said, "God be gracious to you, my son." And Joseph hurried from the room, for his heart yearned for his brother, and he sought privacy to weep. So he entered his chamber and wept there. And he washed his face and went out, and restraining himself said, "Let dinner be served." And the servants set out the food for Joseph by himself, and for his brothers by themselves, and for those Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, according to the Egyptian custom not to eat food with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination to the Egyptians. And Joseph's brothers were given seats before him, the eldest according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men looked at one another, amazed that so much was known about them. Joseph took and sent helpings to them from before him, but Benjamin's portion was five times as much as any of theirs, and they drank freely and were merry with him. Chapter 44. And he commanded the steward of the house, saying, "Fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth. And put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest with his grain money." And the steward did according to what Joseph had said. As soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away, they and their donkeys. And when they had left the city and were not far away, Joseph said to the steward, "Up, follow after the men, and when you overtake them, say to them, 'Why have you rewarded evil for good? Why have you stolen the silver cup? Is it not my master's drinking cup with which he divines the future? You have done wrong in doing this.'" And the steward overtook them, and he said to them these same words. They said to him, "Why does my lord say these things? Far be it from your servants to do such a thing." Note that the money which we found in the mouth of our sacks we brought back to you from the land of Canaan. Is it likely then that we would steal from your master's house silver or gold? With whomever of your servants your master's cup is found, not only let that one die, but the rest of us will be my lord's slaves. And the steward said, "Now let it be as you say. He with whom the cup is found shall be my slave, but the rest of you shall be blameless." Then quickly every man lowered his sack to the ground, and every man opened his sack. And the steward searched, beginning with the eldest and stopping with the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they rent their clothes, and after each man had loaded his donkey again, they returned to the city. Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was still there, and they fell prostrate before him. Joseph said to them, "What is this thing that you have done? Do you not realize that such a man as I can certainly detect and know by divination everything you do without other knowledge of it?" And Judah said, "What shall we say to my lord? What shall we reply? Or how shall we clear ourselves, since God has found out and exposed the iniquity of your servants? Behold, we are my lord's slaves, the rest of us as well as he with whom the cup is found." But Joseph said, "God forbid that I should do that. But the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And as for the rest of you, arise and go in peace to your father." Then Judah came close to Joseph and said, "Oh, my lord, let your servant, I pray you, speak a word to you in private, and let not your anger blaze against your servant, for you are as Pharaoh, so I will speak as if directly to him." My lord asked his servant, saying, "Have you a father or a brother?" And as we said to my lord, "We have a father, an old man, and a young brother, the child of his old age, and his brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother's offspring, and his father loves him." And you said to your servants, bring him down to me, that I may set my eyes on him. And we said to my lord, the lad cannot leave his father, for if he should do so, his father would die. And you told your servants, unless your youngest brother comes with you, you shall not see my face again. And when we went back to your servant, my father, we told him what my lord had said. And our father said, go again and buy us a little food. But we said, we cannot go down. If our youngest brother is with us, then we will go down. For we may not see the man's face except our youngest brother is with us. And your servant, my father, said to us, you know that Rachel, my wife, bore me two sons. The one went out from me, and I said, surely he is torn in pieces, and I have never seen him since. And if you take this son also from me, and harm or accident shall befall him, you shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow and evil to Sheol, the place of the dead. Now therefore, when I come to your servant my father, and the lad is not with us, since his life is bound up in the lad's life, and his soul knit with the lad's soul, when he sees that the lad is not with us, he will die. And your servants will be responsible for his death, and will bring down the gray hairs of your servant, our father, with sorrow to Sheol. For your servant became security for the lad to my father, saying, if I do not bring him to you, then I will bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore, I pray you, let your servant remain instead of the youth to be a slave to my lord, and let the young man go home with his half-brothers. For how can I go up to my father if the lad is not with me, lest I witness the woe and the evil that will come upon my father? Chapter 45. Then Joseph could not restrain himself any longer before all those who stood by him, and he called out, cause every man to go out from me. So no one stood there with Joseph while he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept, and he sobbed aloud, and the Egyptians who had just left him heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard about it. And Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? And his brothers could not reply, for they were distressingly disturbed and dismayed at the startling realization that they were in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, come near to me, I pray you. And they did so. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now, do not be distressed and disheartened or vexed and angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me ahead of you to preserve life. For these 2 years, the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years more in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a posterity and to continue a remnant on the earth, to save your lives by a great escape and save for you many survivors. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and tell him, your son Joseph says to you, God has put me in charge of all of Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay. You will live in the land of Goshen, and you will be close to me, you and your children and your grandchildren, your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. And there I will sustain and provide for you, so that you and your household and all that are yours may not come to poverty and want, for there are yet 5 more years of scarcity, hunger, and starvation of famine. Now notice, your own eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin can see that I am talking to you personally in your language and not through an interpreter. And you shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that you have seen, and you shall hurry and bring my father down here. And he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept on his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them, and after that his brothers conversed with him. When the report was heard in Pharaoh's house that Joseph's brothers had come, it pleased Pharaoh and his servants well. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Tell your brothers this, load your animals and return to the land of Canaan, and get your father and your households and come to me, and I will give you the best in the land of Egypt, and you will live on the fat of the land. You therefore command them, saying, 'You do this, take wagons from the land of Egypt for your little ones, for your wives, and bring your father and come. Also, do not look with regret or concern upon your goods, for the best of all of the land of Egypt is yours.' And the sons of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons, as the order of Pharaoh permitted, and gave them provisions for the journey. To each of them he gave changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent as follows: 10 donkeys loaded with the good things of Egypt, 10 she-donkeys laden with grain, bread, and nourishing food and provision for his father, to supply all who were with him on the way. So he sent his brothers away, and they departed, and he said to them, 'See that you do not disagree, get excited, or quarrel along the road.' So they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan to Jacob their father. And they said to him, 'Joseph is still alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt.' And Jacob's heart began to stop beating, and he almost fainted, for he did not believe them. But when they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said to them, and when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived, and warmth and life returned. And Israel said, 'It is enough. Joseph, my son, is still alive. I will go and see him before I die.'" This is the end of today's reading. What an amazing story we have heard today in these chapters in Genesis. We find Joseph testing the heart of his brothers. The scenarios that Joseph set up for them, putting their money back in the mouth of their sacks, placing the silver cup in Benjamin's sack so that they were returned back to his house, and then confronted with the possibility that Benjamin was going to be taken as a slave and kept in Egypt. That was a setup Joseph actually devised, not to harass them and not to take revenge on them, but instead to reveal what was in their hearts. He wanted to know whether the hearts of his brothers, who had so cruelly betrayed him and sold him as a slave into Egypt, he wanted to know if their hearts had changed at all. Had they softened at all? Or did they still possess the hardness of heart that would have allowed them to desire the murder of their own brother to the point where they wouldn't even care if their father was hurt by it? He also wanted to know if their hearts had repented for what had been done to Joseph, and if they had regrets about their wicked behavior, and whether they were willing still to betray a brother, because the setup that he devised placed them in the situation where they had to choose whether they're going to turn their back on their brother Benjamin and walk away and live their own lives free, as they did when they sold Joseph into slavery into Egypt, or whether they would give their own lives up for their brother Benjamin. So the test was on. And here we see they all returned back to Joseph's house. Benjamin, of course, is accused of being the thief. And then the brothers say, "Okay, we're here, we're your slaves. What can we even say? We don't even have an answer for you," because they couldn't explain it. They knew Benjamin did not steal that cup, but they couldn't explain how it got there. And they knew that to the Egyptians, such thievery would be punished severely. And so they returned saying, "We're all your slaves. We are all your slaves." But Joseph had a plan here. He was going to test them to the limit. And so instead of saying, "Okay, you're all my slaves," and basically getting revenge upon them for what they had done to him, that was not his intention at all. That was not even in his heart. Instead, he wanted to see, had their heart softened, and had their love for their own brothers changed at all, their love for their father. And the test was very revealing, because here we find Joseph is about to give the opportunity for those brothers to walk away and leave Benjamin as a slave and get their freedom. But do they take him up on it? This is what happened. It was so profound. When Judah, who was the very one who had actually convinced the rest of the brothers, with the exception of Reuben, who was not around at the time this actually happened, Judah had convinced the other brothers to sell Joseph as a slave to the Ishmaelite traders that were passing by. It was him. So now it is Judah again who steps up. And it says in verse 18 of chapter 44, "Then Judah came close to Joseph and said, 'Oh, my Lord, let your servant, I pray you, speak a word to you.'" And so he begins to tell him the entire story, how they came down, how Joseph forced them to tell him about it, their father and their young brother, and how they were told by Joseph that they couldn't return without that brother, or they wouldn't see his face. So he recounts the entire narrative back to Joseph, who of course knows the whole story quite well. And then he says to Joseph, "Your servant," referring to himself, "I became security for the lad to my father," talking about Benjamin, "saying, 'If I don't bring him to you, then I will bear the blame to my father forever. Now I pray you, let your servant, let Judah remain instead of Benjamin to be a slave to my Lord, and let the young man go home with his brothers. How can I go up to my father if the lad is not with me, lest I witness the woe and the evil that will come upon my father?" Right there, Joseph sees that Judah, the one who was the ringleader in selling him into slavery, has had a total and complete change of heart. It's not just remorse, which was observed in their previous trip, that they wish this hadn't happened because now they're having bad consequences. They thought that he was speaking roughly to them and all this stuff was happening to them because of what they had done to Joseph. So we saw a sense of remorse over having done that because now they're reaping consequences. But remorse is only sad for a deed because of the consequences it gets for the wrongdoing. But repentance is different. It's deeper. It's a complete transformation of heart where the person is truly sorry for what they did and wants to turn their heart and change their behavior and go in a different direction. And that's what we see here with Judah. He was so concerned about how his father would feel about his brother Benjamin being left as a slave in Egypt that he was willing to lay down his own life, become the slave in Benjamin's place, to allow Benjamin to go free. The total opposite of what he had done with Joseph, where he wanted Joseph to become a slave and didn't care what his father felt about losing that son and had a hard heart about the whole matter. He didn't have that attitude anymore. Now he's willing to lay down his own life to allow his brother Benjamin to remain free. Jesus said in John 15:13, "There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend." Those were the words of Jesus about laying down your life for somebody else. And that is exactly what we see here in the life of Judah. He's gone from hatred, resentment, and having a murderous spirit, or a willingness to sell his brother as a slave, to having a spirit of love where he's willing to lay down his life for his brother, a total and complete transformation of heart. And that is what Joseph was looking for. He was trying to see, has there been any change in these brothers of mine? Have their hearts softened toward their own brothers? And the test was Benjamin, and allowing and pretending that he was going to take Benjamin as a slave, which of course Joseph would not really have done, but he was testing his brothers to see if a change had come in their life. And now Joseph could see there had been total repentance. There was a total change of heart. There was a complete reversal of Judah's actions and thoughts and emotion and every part of him. And it touched Joseph so deeply that in the very next chapter, the next verse, Joseph could not restrain himself any longer. And he sent everybody out of the room except his brothers. And the first thing he did was weep and sob to the point that everybody in the household could hear him. And that's when he revealed who he was to his brothers, which of course scared them because they thought, oh, now we really are going to reap what we sowed. We sold Joseph as a slave and pretended he was dead, and now he can get revenge on us. We've harmed him so much. But that was not Joseph's heart at all, as we know. And I want to bring this point before you. Joseph had passed the test before the Lord of not allowing resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness toward his brothers about what they had done to him. He had passed that test with God with flying colors. And even when he was in the pit of that prison, he did not allow that spirit to grab him. If it had, there is no way God could have blessed him and made him a prosperous man, though he was a slave, as the scripture said, or made him have favor with the warden of the prison and made him the head of the prison. He had such favor, he constantly was moving up. Even though he was thrown to the bottom, he always rose to the top. And the only way that occurred is because Joseph kept his heart clear. He kept his heart clean of bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness. He wouldn't let a bad attitude, attitude of self-pity, or even despair grip him. He refused. He kept his eye on God's promise to him. And God's promise was great, that God was going to bring him to a place of greatness. And as I said before, the path to greatness is paved with many tests. And we see here that Joseph passed the test of vengeance and did not take the opportunity that he had right before him to take revenge upon his brothers, but instead he kept his heart clear. And because of that, God was able to promote him. Do you know God wants to promote you? He does. But he cannot promote you if there is any trace in your spirit of unforgiveness. If there's any trace in your spirit of bitterness. Any trace in your spirit of resentment towards somebody who has wronged you in the past. God wants to promote you. He wants to take you from the place you are to the place God ordained for you to go before the foundations of the earth. But it cannot happen to the person who doesn't line his own heart and spirit up with the Word of God. And the Lord has called us to be this people who forgives freely, because we've been freely forgiven, and He wants us to freely forgive. He wants us to give mercy where someone is not deserving of mercy, because God gave us mercy when we did not deserve mercy. That is the call we have on our lives. And the Lord will not take you to a place of greatness, and He will not take you to the place where He designed for your purpose to be fully and totally fulfilled without you lining up your heart, your spirit, your mind, your emotions, your will with God's ways. And His way is always total forgiveness. His way is always complete trust in God regardless of circumstances. I find the words in Genesis 45 verses 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 so profound. And it's where Joseph says to his brothers, come near. And they did. And he reveals that he's their brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. He clearly tells them, I know, I'm here because you sold me as a slave. But, verse 5, do not be distressed and disheartened or vexed and angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me ahead of you to preserve life. And in verse 7, God sent me before you to preserve for you a posterity and to continue a remnant on the earth, to save your lives by a great escape and save for you many survivors. Verse 8, so now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all of Egypt. Those words are profound because it shows us that Joseph is totally free from any bitterness or attitude toward his brothers completely. And he has so fully trusted in God and God's word and God's promises for his own life to be lifted up and to be somebody of great authority, which he now has come into years later, 13 long years of slavery and then prison before he would go into the palace and be this governor over Egypt. But he passed every test. He proved himself faithful to God and to man. He proved himself full of integrity, even when people did not deal with integrity toward him. He maintained his integrity. And he kept his heart clear of resentment. And he kept his heart full of love toward people. Do you see the love he has for his brothers here? He says, don't you see? God has sent me to preserve for you a posterity. He's not even talking about himself. He says, God sent me here to bless you so that you would live, so your children would live, your descendants would survive the famine that has gripped the earth. What a heart of love Joseph has for the very people who hurt him. And yet God, he was in God's hands, not in their hands. God wants to promote you. God wants to bring you to the place of your divine purpose. If you feel like you've been stunted in moving forward toward that divine purpose, do a heart check. Ask the Lord, Holy Spirit, show me if there's any place in my heart where I have held on to resentment towards someone, or unforgiveness towards someone, or bitterness towards someone, or I've never forgiven them for something that was done to me in the past. It will stunt your spiritual growth and your forward movement if that is in your life. I'll never forget this situation that I observed when my husband and I were very young in the ministry. We were in our 20s. It was his first position in the ministry. And the pastor we were serving in a small church was nearing retirement age. And he had some visitors that he had known back in his Bible school days. And it had been 40 years. Whether they'd seen each other in the ensuing years, I don't know. But that was when they had first met, 40 or plus years before. And I remember going out to lunch with this couple and just sitting and listening to these elder statesmen in the ministry speaking to one another. And that couple recounting to our senior pastor how they could never get over how the denomination that they had served prevented them from moving into a certain ministerial position. I believe it was they had wanted to go on the mission field and they did not approve them to be missionaries at that time in that particular for that country or whatever. And how that, in their opinion, had stunted their forward progress in the ministry and how they never fulfilled their dreams because they were blaming this denomination and the people on that denominational selection committee and whatever. And I sat there in amazement, realizing that this couple had for 40 years harbored in their hearts resentment toward these men who had been on that selection committee and how they had blamed them all those years for hurting their ministry. And I remember thinking, dear Father, please, I was praying as I was watching them and asking God, don't ever allow me to harbor in my heart, even for a moment, resentment toward anybody, blaming anybody, anger or bitterness or unforgiveness. toward anybody for hurting me in any possible way, because I saw before my eyes an example of how a person's future can be completely brought to a standstill, how the fulfillment of God's purpose, divine purpose for a person can be completely cut off because of resentment, unforgiveness, bitterness harbored in the heart. And these two never made a lot of progress in the ministry, you could say. And there was no doubt in my mind as I witnessed that conversation that it was not because of that denomination or anybody's selection committee. It might have been the will of God. They don't go to that country. God wanted them somewhere else, but they didn't pass the test of resentment and bitterness, the opportunity to become resentful or bitter. They didn't pass that test because they still harbored it in their heart for 40 years, and it had indeed prevented them from ever fulfilling God's divine purpose for their lives. If you aren't moving forward in your life, if it seems like you're not going forward toward the purpose for which God created you, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal if there's anything in your heart that is preventing you from receiving God's best. God wants to promote you. God wants to take you to where He has designed your future to be and your purpose on the earth to be. But don't let any unforgiveness or bitterness or resentment stop you. It will stop you if you don't confess it to the Lord. Ask God to forgive you. Ask God to put in a heart of love for the people, like Joseph had a heart of love for his brothers, so that the Lord can promote you like He did Joseph and bring you into the fullness of your destiny and purpose as He did with Joseph. Joseph had to pass a lot of difficult tests in order to ever receive the greatness that God had intended for him. And you can see that he did it with grace, and he passed with flying colors, and God was able to use him in a mighty way. Let the Lord do that in your life. Pray and ask God today, is there anything in my heart that's preventing me from moving forward because I've sinned against you in some way and I am not aware of it? Because in God's eyes, it is a sin. God wants us to forgive everyone as God has forgiven us. May God give you a victorious week.